From NPR News in Washington, I'm Noor Rahm. Iran is claiming that its engineers are making a copy of a U.S. surveillance drone captured last year. The head of the Revolutionary Guard's Aerospace Division said military experts have extracted enough data from the plane to make a replica. U.S. officials say the drone has security systems in place that would make it hard for the Iranians to exploit the technology. Senator Joe Lieberman, a member of the Armed Forces Committee, also has doubts.
I don't have confidence at this point that they're really able to make a copy of it. It's a very sophisticated piece of machinery and has served our national security well.
Lieberman says there's a history of Iranian bluster that Iran may be on the defensive because of the U.S. economic sanctions. Congress is preparing for a landmark vote this week on legislation to protect the nation's computer systems from hackers. NPR's Joel Rose reports lawmakers are divided on how to handle cybersecurity.
The Republican-controlled House of Representatives is expected to approve the Cyber Intelligence Sharing and Protection Act, which would encourage companies to share data about cyber attacks. But Democrats in Congress and the White House say the bill doesn't go far enough. One major sticking point is whether the Department of Homeland Security should have the authority to enforce cybersecurity standards at private companies, including those that operate most of the nation's power grid and other critical infrastructure. Business interests, including the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, say that would impose new costs on the private sector without guaranteeing any real improvements in security, which means it could be a while before any of the competing cybersecurity bills in the House and Senate become law. Joel Rose, NPR News.
Utah Senator Orrin Hatch says his seventh term will be his last if he wins his first Republican primary election in three decades. NPR's Howard Berkus reports Hatch failed to get enough votes at this weekend's state convention to avoid a primary in June.
The second most senior Republican in the U.S. Senate says he's elated he survived Utah's Republican nominating convention.
I consider it a tremendous victory after what has happened in the past and what we've had to do.
Those are references to the Orrin Hatch campaign's $6 million effort to avoid the fate of three-term incumbent Senator Bob Bennett, who was ousted at the state convention 2 years ago. Hatch's primary challenger is former state Senator Dan Lillenquist.
Seniority does not matter unless you're actually able to change the course of the country and to actually get bills passed.
Hatch still has $3 million to spend and is considered the primary favorite. Howard Berkus, NPR News, Salt Lake City.
France's presidential election is underway. President Nicolas Sarkozy is hoping for a second term, but polls suggest he may be denied one. Socialist Francois Hollande is narrowly ahead for the first round of voting. This is NPR News. United Nations monitors toward a rebel-held town in central Syria today to determine if the Syrian government is observing a ceasefire. Meanwhile, activists say Syrian soldiers shelled a neighborhood east of Damascus, killing at least two people. Yesterday, the UN Security Council voted to expand the number of observers in Syria from 30 to 300. Satellite photos of a disputed border oil-producing region which was occupied by South Sudan suggest major infrastructure has been badly damaged. The pictures were published by a U.S. watchdog organization. NPR's Afebi Quist-Arkton reports Sudan and South Sudan blame each other for the destruction.
Technically, Hijlij oil field is located in Sudan, but its ownership is disputed by neighboring South Sudan, whose troops occupied the area for 10 days. The southern forces were given orders to withdraw on Friday, although Sudan claims the south was chased out of Hijlij. The Washington-based Satellite Sentinel project says it's impossible to tell who's responsible for the apparently deliberate destruction of key oil infrastructure. Images show the charred remains of an oil collection point at the end of two pipelines, with damage so severe the lobby group suggests it would likely stop crude oil flowing. President Obama says the only way to resolve the conflict between the two Sudans is through dialogue. Afebi Quist-Arkton, NPR News, Dakar.
Officials in Amsterdam say a 68-year-old woman died today from injuries sustained in yesterday's train crash. Two passenger trains collided head-on. At least 40 people were seriously injured. Dozens more sustained minor injuries. I'm Noor Rahm, NPR News in Washington.